Dude, last night was ridiculous. There's people that woke up, and I'm one of them. They had three guys going to my Brandon Cooks. I'm down like 83 to like 20. I'm like, why even look at it the rest of the week?
And welcome to another episode of the Dynasty Trades HQ podcast. Great. Brought to you by Dynasty Football Network and DynastyFootballFactory.com. My name is Michael Sipes. You can find me on Twitter at FFBlitz. And I'm here with my partners, Jeremy Broen.
Hey, what's up?
At DFF underscore Madman. And Shane Manila, who you heard talking before.
Yeah, I'm not your partner.
You're not? Oh, see, I told you, Jeremy.
He's a maverick. He's just a maverick.
And you can find him at DFF underscore Shane.
Yeah, but you guys, you know what we never talk about? I'm also on Facebook and Instagram and... Tumblr.
Pinterest. You're on Pinterest too, right?
Yeah. Do you do Snapchat?
No, I don't Snapchat.
Are you on Grindr?
God. Yes. Oh my God. Well, I don't know about
real that. Quick. Yes. When we were coming on air, we were talking about last night's supernova explosion.
Oh my God. That was an amazing Thursday night game. Yeah.
So I'll just kick it off with this. You know, we'll get around to the other stuff we wanted to talk about. But is Jared Goff God? Actually God?
I don't know.
A God.
Maybe a football God. I don't know about what
people... Not like, maybe not like the big G God, but maybe like a little G God.
Fantasy-wise, I know. I mean, in the listener league, Jeremy and I are playing against each other, and he has Goff and I have Cousins, so we both got a lot of points last night, but you got more than me. I got 111 out of four players. You got 50 out of just Goff.
Yeah, I don't have Goff in a ton of spots. I do have him in a couple, and man, it's just encouraging to see how well he's throwing the ball. Some of the darts and dropping those balls just right in there, you know, where seemingly the only place you could do it and make a completion. But Sean McVay, man, that guy, everything they say about that guy, he's like an Adonis, you know? I mean, he's like a Greek god among coaches. That dude is simply amazing. And that memory he has and the ability to, on a short week, get that team coached up to play like that. I mean, it's like a perfect storm, like Shane was saying. Supernova, Jared Goff and Sean McVay taking over the world.
Yeah, and that's the thing, too, is it's, you know, it's easy to say a couple of those passes, the wide receivers were running free. And, you know, I could have made those throws, but
outrun the linebacker.
Well, yeah. Well, except for that part, actually, you know, the running part. I'd have to sit down, have a cigarette, probably take a nap. But, yeah, a lot of those throws were just, I don't even remember which ones at this point because he threw so many goddamn touchdowns. But I think it was the
there was amazing one to Cooks. Robert Woods. Was it Robert
was
Woods?
Or Woods? In I that don't even know.
In the corner of the end zone where he had the two guys
that was
on him?
So nice.
I wasn't even thinking of that one, but yeah, that was beautiful. No, I was thinking about the one where the coverage, you know, was basically in the middle of the field. And I don't know. There was maybe, it looked like about half a foot of distance between the cornerback and the wide receiver, and he just placed it right on the wide receiver's hands. It might have been Cook or it might have been Woods first. I don't know. I couldn't even keep track. It was literally like pinball last night.
Did you watch the entire game? I usually don't on Thursday night. I'll work and watch some of it until I get tired, but I didn't even get tired because it was such a great game. I watched the whole stinking thing.
Yeah,
me too. You know what? I lied. I missed the first Aldrick Robinson touchdown. After that, I was I couldn't take my eyes off of it. So just back to my whole Jared Goff may actually be God. You guys don't want to chime in. That's fine. You're religious. I'm not.
I'm not religious at all.
So right now, Jared Goff is supporting three wide receivers in the top 15 in average scoring. He's got Cooper Kupp, who went apeshit last night, averaging 21 points a game. He's got Brandon Cooks averaging 19.7 points per game. And Robert Woods, who's really slacking as the wide receiver 15. At 19.1 points a game.
So that goes along with why we couldn't pick out which pass we were talking about, because there were so many good ones and it was to so many different wide receivers. When was the last time a team did something like that? Three top 15 wide receivers.
Well, I went on, and the scoring I'm using here is I looked on Fantasy Football Today, FFToday.com. you know, the first team that popped to my mind is St. Louis Greatest Show on Turf with Torrey Holt, Isaac Bruce, and maybe Ricky Prohl. But unfortunately, FFT Day goes back to 2001, but it doesn't go back to the Super Bowl season 99 or obviously 2000. Cause I think if it happened, it would have been one of those two seasons. So I'll tell you what, if, someone can look that up, if they can find that out, go ahead and tweet us out, tweet it to us. Let us know if any quarterback has ever supported three wide receiver ones.
Yeah, and it's funny because we were talking about it earlier about having all those different players in different leagues. I know in the off season, I never really got any Cooks or Robert Woods, but I do have Cooper Kupp in two of my leagues, and God, I wish I had him in more. So is it too late to get your hands on Brandon Cooks?
No, right now, yeah, he's too expensive to buy. But you know when he wasn't too expensive to buy?
When?
Before the season. And oddly enough, we had a Patreon exclusive episode with Jordan McNamara where we did a two-round startup. And that's just another reason to become a Patreon member, because if you were, you would have been all over Brandon Cooks at that time, and you could have bought him for a reasonable price, because at that point, everyone was concerned that Brandon Cooks was going to be the next iteration of Sammy Watkins there. Or no one knew, you know, how the target shares were going to break down. And Jordan, you know, brought up the fact that Brandon Cooks was just behind Antonio Brown with wide receiver one weeks. And, you know, me being me, I took that nugget and ran with it and traded for Brandon Cooks all over the fucking place.
I think you did it while we were doing the draft during the Patreon thing. I think you were sending offers for Brandon Cooks.
Yep. Pretty much as soon as Jordan broke out that stat, I said, oh, okay. So this guy actually has a really good floor, which was a shock to me. And he has an insane ceiling. So let me go buy the shit out of him. So, you know, again, if people were patron members or Patreon members and they were patrons of the show, they would have known that and they would have bought him already. Now, I don't see how you could buy on him, especially coming off of last night's performance. So it's just, you know, that's just another reason that folks should become Patreon members so they can get those bonus exclusive episodes and get great nuggets like that and, you know, get actionable intelligence. So let me ask you this. So we've all agreed, right? Jared Goff is actually a god, not the god, but a god. Yes. So is Deshaun Watson a demigod? Is a demigod a bad thing, or is that a little god, right?
I don't know. Is demigod a little god, or is demigod like the anti-god, like a bad guy? I don't know. Like you said about religious, I'm not religious. I don't know.
I'm going to go ahead online.
And what's great is while you look that up, let's play a word from our sponsor, SquadQL.
Want an unfair advantage to dominate your fantasy football league? Look no further and download SquadQL, the only mobile app you need to crush your friends and rivals. SquadQL recommends the best starting lineup for each week based on your starters, bench players, and free agent pool. SquadQL provides waiver and trade recommendations too. Go to SquadQL.com to download SquadQL for free. SquadQL is brought to you by the creators of RotoQL, the leading daily fantasy optimizers trusted by 100,000 DFS players.
We're back from the SquadQL. What were you just about to say, Shane?
No, I was actually using SquadQL the other night, and it helped me pull off a trade in one of my Yahoo leagues. It's a great app. It really is. I'm a fan of it. I'm not only a user. I'm not only a promoter of it, I'm a user.
That's awesome.
They're not just a fan club president, you're also
exactly. So back to Deshaun Watson. Exactly. I think he may be a demigod because Demi Moore. Because he's supporting the wide receiver 4 right now and the wide receiver 19. And if I asked you without looking at the show sheet, I'm covering it. Only I can't say
that. I was going to say, you're not covering my show sheet.
who do you think points per game would be the wide receiver 4 and who would be the 19 on the Texans?
Well, even without looking at it, the fact that you asked that question, it's got to be one of those things where you would never know. So I guess Fuller is the 4.
Yeah, because he's a true wide receiver 1. Just ask Christopher Bean. He's been selling that for a while.
Dude, he may be right. Will Fuller is beasting out. He scored a touchdown every game with Deshaun Watson. That's going to be a record. If they play together for 10 years and average 16 games a year.
Quite the extrapolation. But
that's 160 touchdowns. Now, some of those games, he might even score two. So we're looking at easily 250 career touchdowns for Will Fuller.
Easy.
So then what are you going out there trading for? What are you sending out trade offers to get Will Fuller if he's going to be there?
Trade alert.
Oh, there's a trade alert for Will Fuller?
All right, so this is a Devy league, and I needed some wide receiver help.
Uh-huh.
And shit, I didn't want you to know which side I was. Damn it, I hate when I do that because then you just vote against me out of principle. So anyway, it's a Devy league.
Okay,
needed some wide receivers. I gave up Zamir White, Jerry Jeudy, Paul Richardson, 2019 Devy first rounder, 2019 other Devy first rounder from someone else. Jesus, a 2023rd of Paul Richardson.
You know what? It's funny. I'll tell you this. You say that we always go against you, and it's true. We did for 40 some odd episodes. But the last two or three times you've come up with these trades, I definitely like your side better, and you're I really like it again this side, too.
We haven't even told the people the side. So my side.
It's because I'm looking at it, though. You're right. Will Fuller and?
And Quincy and Nunwa.
Yeah.
You already know what side I'm on.
Me too. Yeah, I would definitely take those two wide receivers over all that stuff you sent away.
Yeah, I like both guys already. So
yeah, and I love Zamir White, but he tore his ACL, and it's a second ACL, and the guy hasn't even played a season in college yet.
Right. I love all these college players that are doing great until they make it to the NFL, and then they're not scoring any points for you in fantasy.
And again, that goes back to the stuff I've talked about in the past, especially with Devy Leagues, those depleted first-round picks and stuff like that. I'd rather have the players that are getting me points right now, and I would much rather have Quincy and Will. That's a pretty good trade for you on that side.
I think in a league like that, that's a clear win, especially obviously now, but maybe forever. Hey, for 3 years, you know, I waited on Brandon Cooks to finally be what I paid for to begin with.
Yeah.
You know, what was the net present value? What did you lose over the past 3 years waiting for that shit? In this case, I mean, you're getting those guys now and they're both young and they can play for how many years? And those other guys, whether they turn out or not, even if they do, you know, you're riding these guys to their peak. So I think this is something where you might win like twice.
Yeah, and that's the biggest part of this trade was for me is I didn't want to, you know, just grab old guys.
Yeah.
Because I do still skew towards the young, except in my marriage. My wife is older than me.
Well, let me ask you something. Oh, wait, I didn't know that. Jeremy didn't either.
She looks younger, and she's much hotter than me. So she, you know what I mean?
But, I knew you married up, but I just didn't know you married down.
Quincy Enomo is only 26, and Will Fuller is a fucking baby. My man isn't even 25 years old yet.
Yeah.
And, you know, Will Fuller... I'm not going to lie to you. When he came out of college, I wasn't a fan of his. He dropped passes like a guy that drops passes. I can't think of good analogies today, so I won't use any. But I wasn't a fan of his because he definitely had drops issues his rookie season. And it seemed like the Texans only used him as a burner. That's all they used him as. But he seems like a more complete receiver. I haven't watched every game. I don't know if drops are still an issue, but I'm guessing they're not a big issue because he's getting, you know, 11 targets a week. And when you do that and put up the numbers that he's putting up, well, fuck, I don't even care if he is dropping passes because he's still putting up wide receiver one numbers every week.
Well, you know, it is funny because we've talked about it in the past about some of these guys. Everybody expects their rookies to be the guy and show up and do something for them. And then they get disappointed when it doesn't happen. And maybe they just need a couple years to fit in there. The position that maybe doesn't fit in that analogy is what one of the things you wanted to talk about tonight is the quarterbacks. I mean, all of these rookie quarterbacks from this year, it seems like we're going into week four, but so many of them are finally stepping up and getting their opportunity to start. I know we were going to talk about Darnold, Josh Allen, Baker Mayfield, Josh Rosen. They're all starting now going into week four.
Yeah, that was quick, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah. That's what I'm saying. I mean, some of those other positions, it takes a little while, but the quarterbacks, usually when they get thrown out there, it doesn't always work out. But right now, it's seeming like all these guys are working out. Which one do you like the best right now?
Oh, Jesus.
Mayfield.
I was going to say, I knew Jeremy.
It's gonna be Baker just because of the weapons and having hopefully Todd Haley's calling the plays there. Like Hugh Jackson, hopefully they don't let him near anything involving game schemes, game calls or any of that. But with the weapons that he has and Todd Haley as the play caller, I mean, you look at him in comparison to Sam Darnold and Josh Allen and Josh Rosen, the weapons that he has, it's not even similar. It's not even fair, frankly. Sam Darnold has Quincy Enunwa and Robbie Anderson, who he doesn't really throw too much, and then tumbleweeds.
Running backs like a hair here and there. Yep.
It does seem that Robbie Anderson's kind of disappeared after the, you know, going into the week four right now. He's got nothing really.
He's Darnold, you know, like I think we talked about this a couple weeks ago, hopefully, or last week. Hopefully Darnold, you know, start airing it out to him. Robbie Anderson seems like the type of guy when he's not getting targets, he's not going to stay involved in the game mentally. So if he's not getting targeted early, I'm pretty sure that guy checks out just based on his personality and the types of things he's done in his life in the last couple years. He seems like that type of dude. Like, oh, well, I didn't get any targets in the first quarter. I'm just going to get ahead and Rishard Matthews this.
The reason I put this on the sheet is because how exciting this is for Dynasty football. Obviously, these guys all got drafted. Everybody's hoping they become something big. They all came out the same year. First of all, that's exciting. They have four rookies all this year, and they're replacing situations, guys in situations that are just meh. I mean, even Tyrod Taylor, he really wasn't doing that great in Cleveland. He did really well in Buffalo, but in Cleveland, he's just been meh, you know, whatever. I mean, you got Josh Rosen replacing Bradford, another, yeah, big deal. You know, there's nobody in Buffalo, of course. And, you know, the I'm sorry, there's nobody for the, you know, the Jets or the Bills. So you knew those guys were going to play early, probably. You knew Darnold was going to. They said it all along. And you figured Allen had a shot because they, you know, the draft capital and these guys and everything, and they don't really have much in front of them. And now we got four guys to kind of bank on, four guys we drafted. It just, man, what an influx of talent for our Dynasty leagues. And we mostly play in super flex leagues now, right? So I just thought this was one of the most exciting things going for Dynasty.
It is pretty cool. And when you talk about value and trade and everything of those four guys, I know you say Baker Mayfield is one, but how would you rank those four? And what are you willing to trade to get any of those guys?
Well, for me, it would be Mayfield, Darnold, and Rosen still close. Like they've been all along. I might lean more toward Darnold, being, you know, the guy, but I'm still torn either way you toss it. And then I think Allen still fourth. So if you have it Mayfield, Rosen, Darnold, Allen, or Mayfield, Darnold, Rosen, Allen, that's how I have it based on super flex fantasy football. Who knows how it shakes out with points, but I'm just not a big Josh Allen believer. You can shake up the top three guys however you want, whoever you think's going to have the better career. I think Allen still is more just of a kind of a loose cannon type. I don't want him as much as I want the other guys.
And what are you willing to trade for them?
Are you serious? In the Superflex League?
Yeah.
All of Shane's players I'll give you for one of these guys. No, I mean, you know, I what wouldn't I give up? You know, I mean, I'd probably part with, I own Tom Brady in a lot of places. I'm not giving Matt Stafford for anybody, but I'm definitely going to turn Tom Brady's old ass into something, you know, shiny and new soon.
Absolutely.
Probably this year in most of those leagues. So I don't know. Shane's probably, he trades every day. He's probably more able to tell you what he would give up. But I mean, you're going to give up a lot for a quarterback of this caliber.
Shane, do you agree with that ranking? And what would you give up?
Yeah, I have obviously Baker first. I actually have Rosen as my second, then Darnold, then Allen. The only thing that worries me about Rosen is that Arizona coaching staff is fucking horrendous.
Yeah.
They are fucking atrocious. Oh my God. And I know other pods have talked about this, how they pulled David Johnson off at the final play of the game to talk to him about a missed blitz pickup. Like, are you fucking kidding me? It's David Johnson, assholes. And they stick the kid in there. Yeah, what did they stick the kid in there with, like 5 minutes left and they were down? So that worries me. That part worries me. But if they can get out of their own way, I think Rosen's going to be really good. And I think him and Christian Kirk are going to just make beautiful music together.
That was weird, though. You know, you glossed over it, but, you know, they were, it was what, 3 minutes left of the game. They were only down by 3 points, and they threw Rosen out there to try to do something.
If you're gonna do that, do it at the half.
Don't put him out there and let him throw an interception on his first drive. You know, let's build his confidence a little bit different.
It seemed really weird. You know,
and here's a better idea: just don't start fucking Sam Bradford.
Well, exactly.
Trash. It's as simple as this. Look, Bradford is not a good quarterback. He has never been a good quarterback. There's not one time in his career that he has been a good quarterback, and that goes back to his days at Oklahoma. Is that where he played?
Yeah, and isn't he like? Doesn't he? Hasn't he made the most money out of every quarterback?
He was the last quarterback selected, or you know, before they did the rookie slotting,
right? And
so
then
he got an insane amount of money, and he's useless. So anyway, I don't want to waste my breath on him because he's useless. So they should have turned Rosen out there sooner.
All right, so that's your ranking. And again, is it like Jeremy saying you'll give up anything to get any of those four guys?
You can't buy those guys. You could buy Josh Allen still, I think, and you could buy Darnold because he's looked like shit since his his first game. He's really, really regressed.
I still have Allen on my trade block, in my trade bait where I own him. So send me offers.
Well, and it is funny. Oh, I remember that you picked him right before me. Jeremy's pointing at me, but in one of our drafts, he picked him right before my pick, and I was going to take him. But so it seems to me
real quick, though, I want to trash Darnold.
Go ahead.
So his completion percentage started out at 76.2% in his first game. That's really good. That's a really good completion percentage, right?
Yeah.
9.4 yards per pass attempt. Really good. He's regressed to 48.4%. Well, let's just call it 48%. We're going to round down for whole numbers because they're sexier. 48% completion percentage, 169 yards, 5.5 yards per attempt last week against Cleveland. He looked, and if you watched the game, he earned those numbers because he looked lost, absolutely confused, lost. He looked skittish to me. His decision making looked off. He didn't look good. They might have been better served letting him sit for a while because he is 14 years old.
Yeah, he's super young.
He's 14.
Yeah, and is it?
I think he's doing well.
Well, isn't Josh McCown actually has a daughter that's the same age as Sam Darnold?
Yeah, that sounds about right. Yeah, so he's 21 years old. Yeah, he's 21 years old. So I mean, for that, that also makes me a little nervous. You know, we've seen young quarterbacks fail before and it wrecked their confidence.
I don't see that happening with him. I know he hasn't been a great quarterback yet for fantasy, but there are some really encouraging signs. I mean, before he's got three games in, he's in the top 16 ahead of Mahomes, ahead of Matt Stafford, ahead of Jared Goff and Drew Brees under pressure, dealing with pressure. He has he's been better under pressure than a lot of these other guys, and he's been pressured a lot. And I think that's encouraging to see, out of a young quarterback like that. Has he been super great? It's going to take a while. I think it's going to take a while for Rosen. It might take a while for, Allen as well. But I think Baker's got the best, early chance of succeeding. And that's the thing.
Baker was put into basically like a prefab home. Like it's already ready for you. You just go in, you just do what you do. You just be the baller that you are. Rosen, I like his setup with Kirk, with Christian Kirk there, and obviously Larry Fitzgerald is still there, nominally at least. Christian Kirk, just looking at his targets, he had 8 targets last week and 7 receptions, 90 yards. I think...
Oh, he's frozen now. He's not even moving. Oh, and now he's gone. Moving. And now he's gone. He'll probably just pop right back anyway, so...
Yeah, but I mean, I'm just encouraged by that. And just watching that kid, he doesn't really seem to get too flustered. He doesn't throw a fit like Cam Newton. He's always been poised. He was poised, before the season. What was it, the quarterback camp? When they asked all the quarterbacks, when was that? They were asking the quarterbacks questions, and they all went up and, got the barrage of questions. And he was just so, just poised, confident. He's one of the youngest ones, and he's
Which one?
Handling it.
Which one are you talking about?
Darnold.
Oh, Darnold.
And he just handled himself so, you know, well, poised, mature for his age. And I immediately realized that, you know, people must have found, you know, the pros must have, coaches must have found that out about him too, that he was well put together. And, you know, he's not, doesn't have an attitude like Rosen does. He's, you know, not as loose about things as Mayfield. He just, you know, he seems like a prototypical quarterback. Now, hopefully he doesn't become the next Jay Cutler, but, you know, he doesn't have that attitude either.
Yeah.
He can throw the ball into bad spots, but I'm really encouraged by how he's playing for the Jets. They're not the best team, obviously.
Yeah. So we lost Shane again. So while we're trying to get him back, let's get another word from our sponsor. How about a word from GT Bets?
Are you looking for some action on today's games? Then head over to gtbets.eu for all your sports betting needs. Get up-to-date odds covering all major sports. GTBets.eu is easy to use. Their simple registration process will have you placing your first bet in minutes. And if you register today, you can earn up to $500 of free money. Now that's a great reason to head over to GTBets.eu, an official sponsor of the Dynasty Football Factory. Simply add Dynasty Trades HQ in the referred by field to earn a 100% welcome bonus. GTBets.eu, it's game time.
Oh, and now we've got Shane back. Shane, we just played our GT Bets commercial.
Cool. All right, guys. So let me ask you this. So we've established Jared Goff might actually be God. Deshaun Watson is a demigod. Is Kirk Cousins a wizard?
Well, I think that Kirk Cousins, I mean, especially this last game, you know, Jared Goff, they were like back and forth, 1-1, 1-1, 1-1, 1-1, you know, and I'm very happy with Kirk Cousins. I think he's great. I don't know about a wizard or a demigod or a god, but it feels like right now, talking about the four rookies that you guys just talked about, and then you're talking about Jared Goff, and you're talking about Deshaun Watson, and you're talking about Kirk Cousins. Are we finally seeing a shift from away from all the older guys like the Brady's and the Brees and the Staffords? Or do we have a new renaissance of quarterbacks for Dynasty?
Sure.
And Rodgers.
And Rodgers, too.
It's good to see. Rodgers is getting up there.
Wait, did you not mention Wentz?
Oh, and we didn't say Wentz. No,
so your bad is Joe Buck last night. Oh, well, maybe Jared Goff is the better quarterback. No, asshole. Maybe Jared Goff has stud wide receivers.
You're so biased.
Oh, my God.
I mean, he's good, too. Let's just put
him in
the
same group. That's ridiculous.
But
the same group.
Say that. Joe Buck's a fucking moron. Oh, Jared Goff might actually be better. Really? So let me see Jared Goff with fucking... who was Wentz throwing to last week? He was throwing to the corpse of Jordan Matthews. The guy was signed on the fucking Sunday morning and had snaps.
Oh my God. Oh, okay. So listen. So then you're agreeing then that we are seeing a new wave of all these quarterbacks.
Yes, he agrees.
Especially in Dynasty for us. You know, these players, obviously, you were talking before about trading anything you can to get those guys. So it looks like we've got that new regime going on, you know?
We might have to start playing in triple flex.
Yeah. I have one league like that where I can start up to three quarterbacks.
Seriously?
Fortunately, I have enough to do it too, and I'm in first place because of it, basically. Yeah. Bortles is like my third guy, I think.
Wow.
It's pretty good.
A league that
all right. So you're not buying my Kirk Cousins is a wizard take. How about this one?
I do agree. I think he
I like it. I think
like him
that's
too.
A good analogy. You like that, Sife? Like that.
I do like that. And I see what you did there, Jeremy. All right, so then wait a second then, Shane. We know your answer, but I'm going to ask you. If Goff is a god and Deshaun is a demigod and Kirk Cousins is a wizard, then what is Wentz?
Wentz is he is the alpha and the omega.
He's
what's
a what?
Lower than a demigod.
Yeah, yeah. What is he?
No. Wentz is the alpha and the omega.
Oh God.
That's also a religious connotation, I believe, right?
I don't know.
Beginning and the end. He's everything.
Yeah, I'm not.
I have him ranked above Mariota and Winston both, and Prescott. Just so you know, I've got him ranked ahead of all three of those guys. There's no doubt in my mind. And Garoppolo, now that he's hurt.
Oh, my God. Oh, yeah, we forgot about Garoppolo, too, with all the young guys.
His knee's done. But, yeah, you know what? Garoppolo was overrated anyway. He wasn't a top 15 quarterback. Everybody's just bought into him because he was so goddamn good-looking.
Do you think CJ Beathard's going to do anything this week?
I mean, he'll play. I advocated picking him up in Superflex leagues. Here's the thing. The guy finished, you know, at least he was a QB 17 when he played last year, which, you know, that's not great. But for anyone that rolled Joe Flacco out there in the beginning of last year, not towards the end when he got hot, you would have killed for a QB 17 week.
Sure. Especially in Superflex leagues. And now that we're going into buys and all that kind of stuff, grabbing somebody like him, plus the injuries that we've had. I grabbed him in a couple of the leagues that we had.
I picked him up because I actually lost Garoppolo in one league, and I also traded for Kirk Cousins after that. But I'll hold on him. The guy's got rushing upside. He's very mobile. He's not a very good thrower as a quarterback. Matt Breda will probably see somewhere in the neighborhood of 10 to 15 targets a week, I think, with him back there.
I was thinking like 10 to 15 per drive.
Per drive.
Well, you think it's only going to be Matt Breda every down?
No.
What's weird is Kittle was his college, you know, his college, what do you call that? Teammate. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the splits with Kittle were not very good last year. I looked those up on the RotoViz game splits app, and those weren't particularly good, which is weird. You would think they would have been, except then you look at Kittle's college career and his numbers weren't there. So just in case anyone was wondering, yes, downgrade absolutely everyone on San Francisco except Matt Breda and their punter. If you get punter points.
Yeah, there are a couple leagues where they do have punters. So, well, before we go on to the – we wanted to do our stick and flip or stick or flip. I know Shane doesn't like it when I say it wrong, but before we do stick or flip, we have a word from the Scouting Academy.
Scout NFL football like a pro. Invest in yourself and get a degree in player evaluation and assessment from the Scouting Academy. They've educated NFL GMs, personnel directors, and dozens of NFL scouts. Enroll today and you'll watch the same game tape NFL coaches watch. You'll learn to look past the metrics with position-by-position analysis. This is a time-tested curriculum, a chance to learn from the NFL execs and coaches. Sign up today and get a Dynasty Football Factory exclusive discount for a limited time only. Save $50 when you sign up at DynastyFootballFactory.com.
I wish I could go to the Scouting Academy.
You can. You can.
Oh, wait, I can?
Yeah.
How can I? Oh, wait, and there's a discount.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. I'm gonna pause this podcast and go sign up, I think.
I think you should.
Yeah.
We need you to be
Every week we say we want to send you there so that you can talk about it. So we're back to...
And I'm just actually going to circle back because I noticed that you cut me off before I could get to my last quarterback.
What?
He's done, dude. Ben's done.
Okay. So is Big Ben still a rapist? Well, yes, he'll always be a rapist. But he also is supporting the wide receiver 5 and the wide receiver 16 right now.
Yeah.
Very impressive.
Yeah, you know.
But real quick, the top 24 wide receivers, and I'm sure it's actually probably more than this, but there are, what, 1, 2, 3, 4, that's 1, 2.
Yeah, we lost him again. Well, let me ask you something then, since you're pulling all that stuff up, and you decided to bring back Big Ben with his wide receiver 5 and 16. That's a big thing. If you look at Deshaun Watson and you look at Big Ben, you know, you've got you have DeAndre Hopkins at wide receiver 19, and you got AB at wide receiver 16. So what's going on with those two guys that were generally drafted 1 and 2, 2 and 1 as wide receivers in all the startups and everything this offseason?
Well, I believe this is what you call a small sample size.
Well,
I believe just based on past performances that AB and DeAndre Hopkins shall be fine. And should both be top 12 wide receivers. I could be wrong. I mean, we could be seeing, especially in Pittsburgh, we could be seeing Juju take over as the actual, you know, lead wide receiver there. I don't think so. And NFL defensive coordinators don't think so either, because they're still, you know, putting their shutdown corners on AB and AB's still going out there doing what he does. So I wouldn't be too concerned about that, or DeAndre Hopkins, to be quite honest with you.
Would you be?
Yeah, maybe not this year for Brown, but it's happening.
I mean, it's coming.
Not getting any younger, yeah, for sure.
So would definitely. Would you move him? Would you move either one of them?
Trade alert.
Not while their value's low.
Yeah. Shane has this huge smile on his face. It's so funny. So, yeah. What's the trade, Shane?
We have a giant trade.
Yes.
I won't tell you what side I'm on because I don't want you to vote against me.
Okay.
So we have on one side, Courtland Sutton, Kenny Stills, Travis Kelce, and Kerryon Johnson for Antonio Brown and Joe Mixon.
So you got Brown and Mixon, man. That's pretty sweet.
I didn't put my name or anything on it.
It just looked like guys you'd trade away and guys you'd trade for. I'm sorry. I know you too well now.
Yeah, and again, it's funny because it's back to the whole thing where I like your side better. I mean, it's not happening anymore, Shane. We like your side of the trade. Somehow you've changed.
We've influenced you. Yeah. We've persuaded you over all these episodes.
You've gotten better at trading.
All right, I'm going to go make a bad trade tomorrow. So I did do a Twitter poll. I ran that on the Dynasty Trades HQ Pod Twitter handle. And if you want any trades to get retweeted and you want our advice on them, well, you have to join the Patreon to get our advice. But if you want us to retweet the trade, go ahead and, you know, add us and we'll send those out. So with 138 votes in, with 9 hours to go, so that would be like, what, 78% of the precincts reporting. I believe we can call this trade a win for the AB Mixon side, which I misspelled, by the way, which is embarrassing.
Yeah, Mixon with an I-N instead of an O-N. I saw that.
And every time I see someone tweet a trade with a player's name spelled wrong, I look at the tweet with scorn. And I belittle that tweeter in my mind, but I'm that guy now. So anyway,
well, you could pretend you were being like a cool kid and saying Mixon, like mixing it up.
Yeah, no, that's stupid. So the AB side is winning 80-20,
and it should. Yeah. I think
you know
so.
What though? What's funny is when I opened this offer, it was a lot closer to that to me in my mind. I didn't immediately. It wasn't like a smash accept for me.
So you sent that offer to somebody and they accepted it? No?
No, someone sent that to me and I accepted it.
Maybe, hey, Jeremy, maybe that's why we're liking his trades better, because people are sending them to him.
Yeah. Yeah, they're giving you good. They're just throwing those softballs up there and you're just hitting home runs.
So we think that's the new, that should be my new strategy. Just let people offer me trades.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And then we'll like him. What about that Quincy one? Did you send that Quincy and Will Fuller, or did somebody approach you?
I believe, no. I made that offer. Initially, I offered something less than that. I believe it was just Jerry Jeudy and Zamir White.
So then it went back and forth. Well, we did have one other trade alert on here that is actually one that we hear a lot. People have been asking a lot lately what to do with Kenny Golladay. And
start him. You should start him.
I absolutely start him. But we have a trade here that was Kenny Golladay for Jordan Howard. Now, was that one of your trades, Shane? Because usually,
what do you think? Yeah, I mean, look, and here's the thing. I don't want anyone to think that I just make trades so we have show content.
yeah, because
you have dynasty teams.
Yeah, because Jeremy and I do trades too. They just don't end up on the show sheet.
It's just, to be honest with you, I think maybe 1/5 of the trades I do actually end up on the show sheet.
Yeah, you do a lot. I know I got quite a few offers from you this week. But hold on. Did you trade away Kenny Golladay or did you trade away Jordan Howard?
I'm not telling you. Just
I know. I'm trying to think.
Yeah. I want you to understand, looking at the rosters, you know what? Just pick a side.
Yeah, because if you would have told us what you have on your rosters, we would know right away.
Well, he even framed it up for us this time with some context on why the trade was made.
Yeah, and I'm pretending I didn't read that.
Okay,
but
on the show sheet, I actually wrote without this trade.
Well, I would say this. I would want the Kenny Golladay side in this trade, except if you had a whole bunch of wide receivers and you needed a running back, which is what you wrote.
I like the
context.
Jordan Howard side, but you know, it just depends on it. That's pretty even player for player, but you know, Howard, I like. I think I'd probably trade Galladay for Howard if I had all those wide receivers.
Yeah, and that's the problem, and that's why I added to the show sheet. I think right off the without the context, I would take Galladay too. But the issue is every week so far this season, I've had to decide, am I going to sit Geronimo, Allison, Kenny Galladay, Allen yeah. Robinson, or Chris Godwin? And you know, every week.
Yeah. I'm having the same dilemma, man. Yeah. I don't know what to do about it. I'm sitting either Galladay or Robert Woods in a bunch of places, and it's just a waste.
Yep.
Every week, sitting somebody.
Yep. Big. And then and the other part of this is my other starting running back in this league was Corey Clement. So
so you needed a running back, yeah.
Something fierce.
Did you send that out, or did they come to you?
I sent that out. I sent out a bunch of offers in that league.
I know in one of our leagues you tried to get Kenny Galladay off me. You sent me Kelvin Benjamin and a first-round pick for Kenny Galladay.
That's a good trade. You should take that.
Yeah, right.
No, I like that. I like that a lot.
I was laughing. So
yeah, I would too.
My friend Greg was sitting with me, and I'm like, look at this trade offer Shane sent me.
Yeah, look, just because we invented the hashtag trash dynasty trade offers patent pending.
I so wanted to do that with your trade offer and send it out there, you know?
Shane's the godfather, man. All your friends probably know him real well by now. I mean, he's like an old school. We call him the godfather.
I will send garbage trades out. Here's the problem running the Dynasty Trades HQ handle. Is that you see so many shit trades go through that you're like, well, I'm going to try that too. Problem is I'm in the leagues I'm in, and unfortunately, there's too many smart guys, and most of them won't accept it, which kind of annoys me.
Yeah. So then you send it to me, which of course I'm not going to accept it. Hey, and so let me ask you something. So you like Jordan Howard, you say, right? Because we just got a question from one of our listeners, but it's a redraft question. And they were asking that somebody offered him AJ Green and Jordan Howard for Antonio Brown.
That's tempting.
Yeah, it depends.
I'd probably do that.
I gotta know who else. Yeah, goddamn. I'm like at first blush, I'm taking it.
Yeah.
Depending on you know the settings and whatnot. If it's a start one running back league, well, probably not.
Yeah,
if you have to start two, or
right.
If God forbid, Jesus hates you, and you have to start three. Well, then yeah, I'll take it.
Jesus hates you. Oh my gosh. So. So before we go for the show, let's go back to what I tried to bring us to after the last commercial, but we have your segment.
Sticker flip.
There you go. Sticker flip. And the first one.
Like that. If you're going to do it, Mike, do the segment right. It's going to be like, you know, you got to like sell it. It's stick or flip.
Like a game show.
Exactly.
Okay, awesome. So the first name we have on our stick or flip is your boy, Amari Cooper.
I'm going to let you two go first.
Jeremy?
I don't have anything to add about Amari Cooper. I think I've said it all. I mean, he's doing all right, right? I mean, I don't want any of Gruden's players right now, to be honest. That I didn't want Amari before that.
Yeah, I was going to say, I didn't want Amari before that either, so I would definitely flip him. I'd get rid of him. I don't have him on any rosters, and I never have had him. So, but we all know that you love him, Shane.
Yeah, I'm flipping him because there's a lot of people like Shane out there who love the guy. So I'm sending him to one of those guys if I can.
Here's the thing. So when a player is performing poorly, or at least appears to be, you want to look into why, right? Because otherwise you might as well.
Well, yeah. And also I look into buying them if it's a player that, you know, I believe in, or I think, you know, this is a good value. And I'm not saying he's not a good value at this point. I haven't looked, but I'm not high on him. But you're right. If he's low, thought of, you know, not highly, then it's time to buy the guy because, you know, everybody can be had at a value at various times. He's got a lot of things working against him this year, to be fair. So, you know, it's helping my narrative that he's always been overvalued. But, you know, I just always thought I could get more for Amari selling him than buying him. So I did. But he's got so many things working against him right now with Gruden's team. It's amazing.
Well, let me ask you something. Even not so much even the trading him or keeping him, what about starting him? Are you starting him in your rosters every week? Or are you, is it past that time where you stick him in no matter what?
I have him on one team where I'm not able to trade him, and I am starting him because he's kind of like my fourth wide receiver.
So you're right starting there, borderline.
I'm starting four or five receivers, and he's right there in like either my fourth or fifth guy all the time.
So you're saying you're starting him because you have no other choice.
Yeah, because I don't have enough depth at running back and tight end to offset. I have to start those wide receivers, and he happens to be in there. So I am, but I don't want to. I'd rather not. You know, I'd rather have a better running back or something.
So here's the issue with Amari, and as far as starting him, at this point, I've come to the realization that his coaching staff sucks, right? They're not going to do anything to help him escape from lockdown corners. They won't move him in the slot. He's only run 14.5% of his routes from the slot, which is just silly because he's already seen two shutdown corners so far this year. Greg Olson, his offensive coordinator, the technical term for what he is sucks. Yeah, he sucks. He's terrible. So just going on Pro Football Reference, because, you know, I think he sucks, right? But I want to verify, does Greg Olson suck? And thanks to Pro Football Reference, I was actually able to verify that he does suck.
He does.
He does suck. He does, in fact, suck. So 8 out of his 10 full seasons as an offensive coordinator, he has finished 16th or worst in passing yards, his offenses, obviously. In 5 of those seasons, Greg Olson-led offenses finished 20th or worst in passing yards. That's terrible, right? Terrible. F***ing god-awful. In 7 of 10 seasons, 16th or worst in passing touchdowns, including 4 seasons, 21st or worst in passing touchdowns. That's pretty bad, right?
So what's the bad news?
So you're saying it's not Amari Cooper's fault, that it's Greg Olson's fault?
No, it's partly both. Greg Olson is terrible.
You're making a good case. I mean, the coaching staff there has not done anything for Amari.
And then just for shits and giggles, for no particular reason, his snap share has actually dropped. He was at 93.7% week one. That fell to 89.8% week two. And for some reason in week three, he was only on the field for 83% of the offensive snaps.
Yeah, that is odd, because when I think of Amari Cooper and when he came into the league, you know, everyone raved about, I mean, if you saw Alabama, you realize he was a really strong possession receiver, polished chops. He was running great routes. He came into the league ready to be that PPR wide receiver, and getting a lot of volume, and he's not really a liability. I mean, you know, say, I don't really love the guy in fantasy football, but as a football player, why wouldn't he be out there all the time if he's such an asset in the passing game as that, you know, possession receiver? Is he not getting any separation? I mean, I don't watch the Raiders. I don't know what they're doing, but have you watched the games? Is he getting separation? Does he look fine?
Yeah, unfortunately, I don't get a lot of Raider games, and I could go on
in Philadelphia.
Yeah. So anyway, as far as starting Amari, here's where I'm at right now. So it's obvious the offensive coordinator is not going to do anything to help him escape from lockdown coverage. So basically, anytime he's going to face a shutdown cornerback that actually shadows, you know, a guy that will follow him all over the field, I'm probably not going to start him if I have decent options. Good news is he's got one more year left on his contract, and then he's an unrestricted free agent, and he will still only be 26 years old, and he can escape from John Gruden. He can escape from whoever is the offensive coordinator at that point, because I'm
escape
sure
from Chucky.
Greg Olson will have been fired, hopefully, and maybe he can get somewhere with an offensive coordinator like, I don't know, or a head coach like a Doug Peterson type of guy, or Sean McVay, or even a Matt LaFleur, even though, you know, Tennessee's offenses look like trash so far this year. But that's
Give it time.
Well, and it's hard to run a decent offense when your quarterback can't feel his hands.
Yeah, well, that's a good point.
Well, you know, Jeremy, you spoke about like draft pedigree and stuff like that with Amari Cooper, where everybody knew his name and wanted him and everything. The other wide receiver we have on our stick or flip is one that didn't really have all that pedigree and everybody talking about him, but he's playing pretty freaking well. And that's Geronimo Allison. And what are you guys doing with him? You keeping him or flipping him?
Shane loves that guy. I mean, I'm keeping him because he's got, you know, he's got a chance to be catching passes from what is one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL still in Aaron Rodgers. And Aaron can make that third, even the third guy valuable week to week. I mean, I got him so cheaply. I guess if I could flip him for, you know, a big coup, then maybe I'd do it. But I like the guy enough to keep him. And I remember we trash talked him a little bit on one of our episodes, one of our shows, where I was like, yeah, whatever. You know, they have so many wide receivers there. Is he just a factor, I mean, a beneficiary of playing with Aaron Rodgers, or is he really a good wide receiver? And I know Shane likes him, so why don't you explain?
So, yeah, I'm not sure that it matters if he's actually good.
so he is. A beneficiary of Aaron Rodgers is good enough, right?
Basically, if you have he's good enough to have Aaron Rodgers' trust. I mean, he was undrafted, right? He outlasted a bunch of other wide receivers on that roster, like Jeff Janis and a bunch of other names that I can't remember. And he is their wide receiver three right now. He's not getting a lot of targets, which is a little concerning. Like, he only had four targets last week, but he is getting targets in the end zone every week. He's got three red zone targets, one each week, and he's got two touchdowns. My thinking is at some point Aaron Rodgers is going to tire of the inefficiency and the constantly injured Randall Cobb.
Yeah, well, this is Cobb's. This has got to be his last season. He's like him, Pierre Garçon. I mean, there are just guys that just keep hanging around. They're just not what they were anymore, and they're done. My thing with Allison, you said it. I mean, the draft capital really isn't there. Anybody who has him on their team, most people probably picked him up on waivers if they had him before this year. This year, they still didn't pay a lot for him. He's the perfect guy to flip. You paid a little bit of money, sell him for a lot. I mean, yeah. Unless you love him and you think he's going to become a star, I get that. People are going to hold on to him, and you know, but he's the perfect candidate, and probably why you have him on here, to flip, turn him into something else that's more, you know, stable or steady or long term.
And that's the process, right? You get these guys for real cheap, and you try to turn them into something else that has more pedigree, that is safer. All that said, I'm going to hold on to Geronimo.
I was going to say, isn't there a point where you got him so cheap, and if he's producing for your team, you hold on to him? You don't always
have to flip anything.
Unless you need
something. I mean, yeah, exactly. I mean, context is always context as always matters. you know, found money is great, but turning found money into more money is even better. In this situation, I'm fine with holding on to Geronimo Allison because I paid absolutely nothing for him. Like Jeremy said, like, he was on waivers.
Right.
He's a guy that I believe he's going into his third season, I believe.
I think so.
And wasn't it back in the day when, you know, we're all a little bit older than a lot of people out there, but wasn't that always the saying, you know, third year wide receivers, you want to get wide receivers going into their third year and stuff. So
yeah, don't give up on them too soon is the mantra, right? I mean, don't give up on the kid too soon, especially if he wasn't drafted in the first couple rounds. It might take him a while to get on the field. He might not have had the opportunities that like the first round receivers get or something. So,
yeah. Right. And it is his third season.
Yeah, so there you go.
He was undrafted. You know, there's things that you like to see, that each year he took a little step forward. And the fact that he's actually been on the roster for three seasons as an undrafted player bodes well. He's one of those guys, I paid absolutely nothing for. He's a guy that a lot of folks liked last year. You know, he's one of those guys that we were stashing. I'm fine holding on to him. But yeah, if you can use him as bait to lure something bigger and better, go for it. But he's definitely a guy I will try to get thrown into every trade I make. If he's on someone else's roster, I will definitely try to just, you know, say, hey, look, he's not getting targeted much.
Yeah, you're trying to get him targets.
Yeah.
You're going to try to
get him. I like him.
he's kind of like Deuces Wild. I mean, you could do a number of things with Geronimo Allison, just depending on your situation. He's like the perfect wild card. Could buy him, sell him, keep him. I mean, there's no wrong answer, it sounds like.
Well, the correct theory would be just to sell him now, since, you know, this is probably his highest value. But, you know, look, it's fantasy football. Yes, I want to win money and I want to win every league. But I don't think me holding on to Geronimo Allison is going to make or break my team when he's usually my wide receiver five, or, you know, my third or my second or third flex.
Yeah, kind of like Amari Cooper with Jeremy. So before we wrap everything up, we did have one more player in here that we wanted to talk about, and it was Dalvin Cook, who, you know, in the offseason, everybody was all excited for what was going to happen with him, how he was going to come back from injury, if he was going to be the same player that he was in those first couple of games last year. I know I loved him, and I have him in, like, every league that I'm in almost. And right now, it's been a little disappointing. I mean, he's been injured again. Even last night when he played on a pitch count, I believe. He only played a couple downs.
Yeah.
So I know that for me, I would hope that he's going to come back, and I would pretty much hold on to him unless I needed to move him. But what are you guys doing with him?
I'm holding on to him, hoping his value goes up before I attempt to move him. Plus, I like him a lot. I'm biased in that I like him, so I'm holding on to him anyway for that reason. But it's not really a good time to part with him because he is down in value, and people aren't thinking as highly of him. Encouraged by his elusive rating, though, because he hasn't done a ton of anything, right? But he's you know, top 10 in elusive rating, and that's one of the things that I valued of him when he came into the league. So, if, you know, he's got a couple weeks here or whatever, 10 days to heal up. Let's see how he comes back. I'm still encouraged by that, but yeah, no wrong answer with guys if you're worried about him. But why sell him now if you're not going to get anything? You know, not going to get the value back that you paid for him when you drafted him just last year.
Oh yeah, you definitely won't get that, Shane.
I sold all my shares of him in the offseason.
Of course you did, son of a bitch.
Well, here's the thing, you know, and it's funny, though. Sometimes you don't even know how you really feel about a player until you look at your rosters and go, oh, shit, I don't own any of them. And I actually did trade all of him over the summer, didn't I?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, there's not guys that you over-the-top hate. And he's not that for me, but he's just a guy like Leonard Fournette that I'm not comfortable with because of the injury history, or for whatever reason. And yeah, lo and behold, I don't own him anywhere.
Yeah, it's funny, man. I have guys like that too. Brandon Cooks, you know, you were talking about him. He, Robert Woods, and Cooper Kupp are right there within a few PPR points of each other. And, you know, he's finally become what people wanted him to be, but I own him in none of my MFL. None of my MFL teams do I own him, except I do have him, I think, in one of the eliminators, and I have him, you know, in a redraft league with my buddies, and I have him with I have him on a free dynasty league or something, but I don't own him in any of like my core, you know, MFL dynasty leagues. I didn't even know that. I thought I must have him, but I was mistaken. I had him on those other teams I just told you about, best ball and stuff like that. And then Amari Cooper, I own him on only one of my, you know, core dynasty teams. There's just guys like that. And then there are guys that you try to go after, and you're not always right. But, you know, people are like, oh, you hate that player. Not really. I never really wanted to give up as much as other people were to get him. And I was willing to do that with Christian McCaffrey and, you know, other players, Dalvin Cook. So.
Yeah. So I'm not buying.
but yeah, again, clearly you've
sold. I think if he can stay on the field, he's going to be dynamic and he's going to produce. I do worry about his injury history because it's extensive going back to college at this point. I mean, I hope I'm wrong. I don't want anyone's, you know, no, I don't care. I don't care if I'm wrong or right, to be honest with you. I hope I'm right. I hope it's not because of injury, though. I hope he just sucks. So I can do a little party dance and be like, thank God I don't own that guy. Since everybody likes to dance on my grave about Amari Cooper and Sammy Watkins.
Well, I know.
By the way, Sammy Watkins, another very good week.
Yeah, he's been doing
good. I kind of like that about Shane. I sometimes I'm like, man, that guy, that's predictable. I could understand why that would happen. It's Shane. That's Shane's guy. different things would happen. But I'll tell you what. Shane's not a subscriber to the fallacy of sunk costs. He's not like, you know what, I spent an arm and a leg for this player, and I'm just going to keep him until he becomes what, you know. He's like, you know what, I'm over it. I lost an arm and a leg. I don't want to lose two more. one of each more, so I'm going to get rid of this guy. I mean, and some people aren't like that. They will not get rid of Josh Gordon.
Absolutely.
You know, Martavis Bryant, just anybody who, you know, you paid more than you got, you know.
Derrick Henry.
I
traded. I have two remaining shares. That's it. And someone offered me them this week in a trade. And I said, dude, you're like a week and a half too late. Like, I've moved on at this point. I've said he's dead to me now. He's dead. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen.
I only own him in a couple of spots, and I'm not giving up on him just yet. First of all, I'm not going to get enough for him to move him. And I'm still holding out hope that everything kind of gels and at least gets better in Tennessee. And you said it. I mean, they have a quarterback who can't feel his hand. I mean, that's not going well. A new offense, a whole new coaching staff. There's just so many variables going against that team right now. As the season goes on, he's getting the volume. I mean, he's like, as far as carries go, he's up. I pulled this up earlier, but he's up in the top 15, I think, running backs for rushing attempts. He's just not getting the production yet, but I mean, there are some encouraging signs, and trust me, it's not the 5 or 6 points a week I'm getting out of that guy, but I'm not ready to give up on him just yet. Like you are, Shane. And it's not the sunk cost. I didn't pay a ton for him, but I still believe he could become something better than he is right now. It's his third year, right? 2016.
Yeah.
And you're right. He's definitely getting the volume. So, I mean, when Marcus Mariota can feel maybe even one more finger on his hand.
you need two at least.
Yeah. It's going to help. It's going to help everyone. But, you know, hopefully, just as an aside, but, you know, relate it. If anyone's low on Corey Coleman, not Corey Coleman, he's dead. Anyone's low on Corey Davis right now, go ahead and buy him because he's getting a ton of targets, even though I forget where I saw the stat, but it was something like only 56% of his targets are actually catchable, which is hilarious. That happens when you have Blaine Gabbert and a one-handed quarterback.
Well,
probably still better than Blaine Gabbert.
What about Taywan Taylor? Do you like him at all?
Oh, geez.
Come on, dude.
Are you kidding me? And Rashard Matthews saw the writing on the wall. Yeah. Even he's like, just release me now.
Yeah, he's
let
like,
me leave.
I'm out of here. Yeah. That is kind
of
funny.
You
know,
a bunch of reasons for Taywan Taylor right before Rashard Matthews was, you know, walked away, and part of it was, I mean, Rashard Matthews wasn't part of the scheme like he wanted to be, but Taywan Taylor's made a lot out of his limited opportunities, and I still am a firm believer that he's going to become like the second guy there and be valuable in fantasy, and he doesn't cost much.
No.
He's definitely a buy for sure.
Yeah, on all 23 of my leagues, I looked it up. I don't have any Derrick Henry, but I've got Taywan Taylor on like 10, 12 leagues. I'm not even sure how many. And do you think, actually, because a couple people asked us, do you think that Rashard Matthews will end up somewhere else? Or do you think that, you know, he walked away? He's like, they're not throwing me the ball. I'm out of here. Let me go. And they let him go. Is he going to end up somewhere else? Or if you have him, cut him.
No, I'm not cutting him. I mean, first of all, it's only been
2 days,
3 days, 2 days since he's been released. This doesn't feel like a Dez Bryant situation to me.
I think he wants to play. He just didn't want to play in Tennessee, which I'm sure that's going to leave a – who knows why. I'm not sure what was going on there, but you got to hold out hope that he's going to play somewhere. He's been a productive, efficient guy.
And that was his issue, was the fact that he wasn't getting targets and he wasn't getting on the field.
Well,
so I'd rather a guy, and I don't want to say he quit the team because he didn't quit the team. He probably feels like the team quit on him, or the organization, I should say. And like, he wants to go out and ball. You know, it depends on where he ends up. You know, if he could end up in Buffalo, you know, Josh Allen needs somebody to throw to.
One guy, at least.
At least one. Dallas. you know, there's a ton of places that, you know, I'd like him like to see him end up, but where's he going to end up? Don't cut him yet. If someone's cut him in your league, I mean, if you have an extra spot from all the injuries this year, go ahead and pick him up and hold on to him just to see where
he
went.
Yeah.
Last just, spot on your bench for sure.
In one of my leagues, somebody did cut him, and I already put in a blind bid waiver pick for him for Wednesday.
I mean, we have short memories, but the guy was productive as hell the previous two
seasons.
like really good. And he was really good his final season in Miami, at least half that year, that ended up getting him a free agent contract, free agent contract. If he ends up somewhere, you know, an advantageous situation like Buffalo, I think he's going to be pretty good.
Well, that's an example of some of the questions that we've gotten from our listeners. So actually, if you guys have any questions, if you have any trade offers, if you have any value questions or anything, you know, feel free to ask us, tweet us over at Dynasty Trades HQ. Also, you can send it to our email at DynastyTradesHQPod@gmail.com. And we also have everything over on the website. You can go over to the website, DynastyFootballFactory.com. You'll hear all of our podcasts, all of our articles, whole bunch of stuff that Shane and Jeremy write and edit over there. And
I my eyes are actually bleeding from all the editing. If you're not checking out our site, you're missing out. We've got so much content. We've got DFS content. We've got college fantasy football DFS. We have redraft start sits. We have redraft waivers. We have dynasty waivers. We have IDP waivers. We have anything you can think of fantasy football related. You need to check out our site because there's so much content coming out that I can't even get a chance to write most times because I'm editing.
It is crazy.
And I don't want people to think that I like you or anything, but you are one of the hardest working people at DFF. I mean, you're always editing something, proofing something. You're always doing something. I don't know how you do it. I'm serious. It's every day.
Okay. Yeah.
It is crazy. So go over to our website, DynastyFootballFactory.com. Check out all that information. Check out all the podcasts that we have. Check out our Twitter. And also, on iTunes, Podbean, all those other podcast sites. And give us a rate and review over at iTunes. And
definitely. Please rate and review over at iTunes. Because if you love the show, that's how other people find us. And that's how we get to do more shows.
Yes, and also on our Patreon account, too. So thanks a lot, guys, and we will talk to you guys next week.
Peace out.